Saturday morning, Lou Manfredini is standing by.
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
First time caller, long time listener.
It is time to start the day.
How do you clean a wooden kitchen floor?
And Lou's here to hold your hand and walk you through it.
Latex silicone or siliconized latex?
Together, we can change the world. And if that doesn't work, at least he has your leaky faucets and drafty windows covered. Here he is now, your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio. Last night
I had a dream that the world. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure. We're going to change the world. How about we just figure out how to take the scratch out of your dining room table? Morning. It's House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Happy Saturday morning. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Nice to have you with us this morning. All you got to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. Let us know how I can help you this morning, whether you're building or renovating or thinking about building a deck. Or I learned something about... good morning, Lindsay, by the way. How are you?
Oh, good morning.
I learned something today I'm always constantly trying to learn things about the building industry. A little bit later on today, we're going to talk to somebody from the Northeastern Wood Manufacturers Association. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk with there's a couple of plumbers that got in their trucks when Texas came out of power and... there were all these floods that people's pipes were bursting like crazy. A couple of guys from Morristown, New Jersey, had some family members down in Texas. And then they decided, as they were talking to their family members, they're like, oh, that'd be great if you could come help. We can't find a plumber. My neighbor so-and-so and this and that. So then they ended up buying all these materials, loading up their truck and driving down to Texas. They're still there helping people. We're going to talk to them the bottom of the hour this morning. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then Joe and Don, good morning to you two. How are you guys doing?
Morning, Lou. Doing well.
Good morning. Thanks for asking. Doing well.
All right. I have I'm going to give you a question that after we get through the next hour, we're going to answer this question. So I posed this on my Facebook page, and we got some amazing responses from people. So what item do you have in your home? And this is for the listeners, too. What item do you have in your home that you're using that isn't what it's intended for? Rated G, please. and you don't need to answer that right now, but think about like, oh, yeah, I got this. Yeah, I use this thing for... We have something, and I'll tell you after next hour, I'll tell you, we have something that we have used for the last 10 years. Every week... every day, really, I look at this thing, but every week I have to do something with it, and it makes me giggle. And I'm like, we really should get what it really should be, and we don't. So think about that.
Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And then, Lindsay and I, Lindsay doesn't know this yet, but after next hour as well, the news about Brent Seabrook retiring after 15 seasons with the Blackhawks, we're going to share our Brent Seabrook story, which Lindsay and I have not spoken. I'm going to set it all up, and then I'm going to say, Lindsay, now you go from here. And then she's going to describe her interaction, her probably one and only interaction with the great Brent Seabrook. Which worked out nicely for you.
We've never done a tease on this show, and now you've got two fantastic ones. Is this going to be? You're setting the bar
pretty
high.
Keep listening. Keep listening.
I'm excited.
877-213-4-LOU. 877-213. I literally can still picture your face.
Did you hear what I said?
No.
I said my only interaction with him in person.
In person.
Yes. I've had many other ones.
Okay, like I said, rated G. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's start things off this morning. This is Michael calling in from Arlington. Michael, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
I love when family members call. This is actually Michael Quinn, my wife's cousin. Michael, nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you.
How's your family? Everybody's good?
Oh, we're all good here. We're all getting through this pandemic.
Good.
We're hoping it gets over so we can start flying around again.
Got it. Good. Well, how may I help you, sir?
So So I help out with a Boy Scout troop, and one of our life scouts is working on a potential eagle project, and he's sizing it up. It's about a 100-yard long wrought iron fence, and it's very rusty. It's street-facing. It's in a nice neighborhood. They would like to get it restored. I'm told there's sort of two different methods for it. One is more costly and labor-intensive, apparently involves a lot of sanding. The other involves some sort of treatment of the iron and a little bit less work. And I have no idea what they mean, what people mean when they say a lot of work.
How many scouts are we talking about?
So we've got probably 40 in the troop, but I'm not sure that people want to spend 12 hours a day sanding.
Hold on. So we have 12 in the troop, and how long is this fence?
So no, we've got 40.
40 in the troop. It just got better. 40 in the troop. It's like the Egyptians building the pyramids. So 40.
Well, I'm thinking Tom Sawyer. But
Tom Sawyer, even better.
It's about 100 yards. It's about 100 yards long.
All right. You're good with numbers. If I take 100 yards and I divide it by 40, how many yards is that per scout?
2.5.
Okay. Done. So here's what I would do. With a wire fence like this, you're going to buy 40 wire brushes. And you're going to give them all 3 yards of fencing, and any rusted part, they're going to go with this by hand. This is the best way to do this, and remove and scrape every loose piece of paint and any loose rust that may be there to kind of expose as much of the metal as you can. It doesn't have to be perfect, but we need to get down to a little bit of the metal, and then you're going to buy a couple of gallons and then containers to spread this out by 40 scouts with small one-inch brushes and a rust stop primer in like a red color. What color are you going to paint this fence?
That's going to be up to the pastor.
Okay, but do you think it's going to be black?
Probably.
I mean, a darker color. Okay, because if it's white, then the rust stop primer that you're going to use, they make a white rust stop primer, which would make sense to do that. But if it's going to stay on the darker tones, you're going to buy a couple gallons. It's oil based. I would also buy the scouts not the cheapest plastic gloves that you can buy because they'll break, but they make what's that material? Nitrile gloves. So you buy them in a box, and because it's an oil-based paint, they go through. If you had 40 scouts on 100 yards worth of fence and you did all this brushes, you'd have this thing prepped in a couple of hours, meaning the sanding with the wire brush. And then you come back at it with the brushes maybe another hour to touch up all the painting for the rust stop primer, which will neutralize neutralize the rust, and then whatever they want to paint it, you buy that color paint, and you come back and give everybody 3 yards of paint. I mean, this is really, I doubt you'll be able to prime it and paint it the same day because the primer won't dry. You may have to come back another day, but you'll paint it all. You'll paint it all in a matter of a few hours with that many people.
Well, I don't know that I'll get everybody that day. I mean, I may get 20. So,
well, even if you get 20, you know, maybe you get 20 to do the prep and 20 to do the paint.
Yep.
Right.
That'd be nice.
But that's the easiest way, especially when you have that many bodies, and then they're all part of the process.
Oh yeah.
Love that. Send me a picture.
Awesome. Thank you very much,
Michael. So nice to talk to you. My best to your family. 877-213-4 Lou is our phone number. 877-213-4568. House Smarts Radio. See, we're not solving the world's problems. We're just painting iron fences. That I don't want to overpromise. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. There's no pictures of me anywhere in this studio. Who am I to disagree? Just read it. Read it. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Yoon in New York. Hi, Yoon. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I would like to know what caused a boiler to soot. Something heavily, although the chimney's cleaner. The chimney's clean and clear, but the boiler is certain that the fire is rolling out.
So you have a boiler. Is this a single family home? Is it a multi-unit building? Tell me a little bit about the boiler.
I didn't get that.
Is your boiler for a single family home?
Yes, it's a gas fire boiler, small boiler.
Okay.
70,000 BTUs.
Okay. And you're not getting a draft out of your flue?
It's not drying out because the boiler of itself, all the fins are sucking up heavily. Ooh. And the fire is rolling out at the bottom.
All right, well, that's bad. So you obviously what can cause that is you've got some sort of clog in your flue. Did you shut the boiler off now?
The flute is clear because that's not the only boiler on the flute. It's an apartment building,
right?
And they got two other boilers on the same flute line, and they're working pretty thing. And when I take off the flute above the boiler, it's clean. It's clear and clean right through.
And it goes all the way to a common chimney. From your boiler, does it go to a common chimney?
Yes, it goes to a common chimney.
Okay,
but
hold on. Wait.
Boilers
okay.
on the
right. No, hold
again?
On. Hold on 1 second, Yun. When you take the flue off of your boiler, you can see that it is clear from the boiler all the way to the common chimney. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When at the point where the flue goes into the common chimney, is that a masonry chimney where all these metal flue pipes come into, or is it a lot?
Yes, sir.
It's not a lined chimney where there's individual metal pipes.
No.
Okay.
All going into the one chimney. Yeah.
Okay. So if there's multiple boilers in there and there's one flue there and you're getting a backup where you're getting flame coming out of the box, I don't want you to do this, but from a testing perspective, if you had a boiler person come out and look at it, you would fire up that boiler very quickly without a flue, with windows open, to see if it drafts just naturally, not connected to anything. There could be a clog in that shared chimney, even with those other boilers, you know. Think about it. Could be a physics thing, right? Your boiler could be lower, or it could maybe not. It could be more efficient, meaning that it's not exhausting as much hot air. And if there's any kind of backdraft, it could affect just one boiler and not the other ones. And so the main shared chimney needs to be inspected to make sure there's no backdraft there. But this is a huge safety issue that you need to probably get professional help with.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I appreciate you calling this morning. Yeah, you don't want to mess around with that. And I understand, you know, your point about the fact that there's a shared other units that go through that. But it all depends on how, you know, if you've got a newer furnace, this is something that, you know, everyone should hear. If you get a new furnace or a new boiler, they're highly efficient. They're more, the one you buy today is more efficient than the one you bought last year. Well, maybe not last year, but, you know, 5 years ago. And when it's operating, it's doing such a good job of using that energy to heat your home, whether it's a boiler or a furnace, that the gases that it exhausts into a traditionally vented furnace are not as hot and are not as robust as they were with a boiler or furnace that was 15 years old or 20 years old. And so it can get into a flue situation, depending on the weather, and it starts to roll in there. That's where you can get that back pressure, which causes a problem. You absolutely need professional help when it comes to this, not just something you think you can, you know, handle on your own to figure it all out. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Peter, who's in Queens. Hey, Peter, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio. Hi, Peter.
Hello. Oh, good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Yes, I got a two-handle delta kitchen water faucet.
Okay.
I changed the washer and the spring on the bottom, so, and it's, the water is, I can't shut the water off now, you know, with the handle.
You have a two-handled kitchen faucet.
Right.
And you change the cartridge on one side of it?
Yes, I changed it on the hot water side. I changed the cartridge and the spring and the little black washer.
Mm-hmm.
Put it back. Now I can't shut it off. I can't shut the shut water off with the handle.
What's the who's the manufacturer of this?
Delta.
Okay, and the cartridge when you took the handle off, then you had a stem, and was there like a retaining nut or an excussion that holds it in place?
No,
nothing like that.
No,
and you're certain when you took the old one out, you got all the parts and pieces out, and you have the exact replacement cartridge?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't even replace the cartridge. I'm using the same cartridge.
Oh, well, then was it leaking before?
I can't shut the water off completely. You know, like when I turn the
No. Understood. But in other words, before you did any of this repair, was the issue that you couldn't shut the water off before?
Right.
Okay. All you've changed at this point is the spring.
The spring and the washer and the black washer.
I think probably and one other question with the Delta. What age is this faucet?
About 20 years old.
Yeah. My guess is you need to replace the cartridge itself, the internal workings of the cartridge. If what you've done now with a washer and the spring has not been successful, then the next logical thing to do would be shut the water stops off underneath the sink, pull the handle, pull the cartridge, go to the plumbing supply house or the hardware store and say, I need one of these. Delta is pretty easily found, those parts. They're pretty affordable, too. Delta is one of the easiest ones to work on, and replace the cartridge, and I think you'll solve the problem. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right, we're bumping up against time. When we come back, we're going to talk to these plumbers, speaking of plumbing, out of Morristown, New Jersey, that took a road trip to Texas.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
His lawn supervisor was out on a sprinkler maintenance job. And he started working on a Finlay sprinkler head with a Langstrom 7-inch gangly wrench. Well, just then a little apprentice leaned over and said, you can't work on a Finlay sprinkler head with a Langstrom 7-inch wrench. Well, this infuriated the supervisor, so he went and got volume 14 of the Kinsley manual. And he reads to him and says, the Langstrom 7-inch wrench can be used with a Finlay sprocket. Just then the little apprentice leaned over and says, it says sprocket, not socket. Those people are supposed to be here this show. Or...
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
So I'm looking on Twitter and I see a feed on the ABC7 Twitter feed about a couple of guys that got in their truck from Mitchell's Plumbing and Heating out of Morristown, New Jersey, to drive down to Texas to help out the folks who've got pipes bursting all over the place. Joining me on the phone line right now is Isaiah, who happens to be one of the two that went down there. Isaiah, welcome to House Smarts Radio. How you doing down there?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's a sunny, another sunny day in Texas.
I read this quick story that you guys, and I think it's your brother-in-law, Andrew, who owns the plumbing company, that you guys saw this and you loaded up your truck with a bunch of supplies and decided to go down to Texas to help out.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like when you tell a chef that you're hungry. You know, it's like we're plumbers. We heard people are without water, and we were just moved. We were like, you know, who would we be to be as qualified as we are and just sit in New Jersey when all this need is in Texas? And we actually have some family down in Houston, so that's kind of what really made us privy to the situation down here. They told us how some families were really displaced and they were housing some of their like their mother-in-law and their cousins for about 5 days because they were without water, and they were saying that they had to wait like another 2-3 weeks until a plumber could come out and take care of them.
Right.
So once we heard that, we already started buying some material for them. And then, you know, then they called us back like, you know what, our neighbor needs, you know, this emergency relief as well. And then one thing turned into another. By the time that the 25-hour road trip was done and we landed in Texas, We had like 5 jobs lined up, and we've kind of been going 24/7 ever since.
Tell me a little bit about what you're finding down there. I mean, first of all, how they built, you know, the plumbing out there in Texas is a little bit different than what you have in Jersey. But, you know, what are you finding? Like valves busted out? It appears to me when I look on TV that they run all the plumbing up in the attic spaces of these houses.
Yeah, we got attic spaces. We got very, very small crawl spaces below the houses. None of these pipes were really prepped to be embraced by that, like, the below freezing temperatures. I heard the temperatures dropped down to like 13 degrees out here. So we got a lot of hose bibs that are like exposed pipes on the sides of the houses that were, you know, damaged and stuff of that sort. But interestingly enough, something else that we're finding a lot of out here, you know, so since plumbers are in such scarce, you know, supply down here,
yep,
people are going to handymen around their neighborhood. And we've actually had to come behind a few, you know, so-called plumbers and clean up their work. So that's always tragic to hear that a family spent $600 and that didn't even alleviate the problem.
Right.
And, you know, in some circumstances, it is another problem. So that's pretty serious. Other than that, something else that we're noticing that would be nice to tell your radio audience is that a lot of people aren't too aware of the house water shutoff valve. And this is a crucial piece of information because a lot of these homes with this tremendous amount of water damage, it really could have been mitigated if, as soon as they, you know, saw the water seeping through, if they could have just ran outside and turned off their shutoff valve, which everybody should know. And it seems like in Texas, it differs from New Jersey. They have like these drop boxes in the ground.
Right.
The water shutoff valve.
All right. So you guys left Jersey to head down to Texas when?
We left. Andrew, when did we leave? We left Saturday. Got here Sunday.
So you've been there about a week. And how many houses have you guys been working on?
So, I mean, we've been in, you know, more houses than I can count. In a day, we could stop in anywhere from like 9 to 15 homes. We've even started to, you know, but we're very flexible. We're kind of here just to get people the essentials that they need. Because when we hear, like, a lot of these people at this point, they're going on 2 weeks without water, and there's like no hope in sight. So whenever we hear that people have no water, we try to fix that for them really quick. But besides that, I wanted to say, I'm sorry, my mind's a little scattered.
No, it's
right
all right.
Now.
No, I saw this story, and I like talking to people that are out there trying to help people. And I love your analogy about if you're a chef and you want to feed somebody, and you guys have this talent to be able to help people out, you got a little family there, and you decide to go down and help people. This is what I want to do. Is the company, the firm out of Morristown, New Jersey, is Mitchell's Plumbing and Heating. So the folks that are listening that you live in the area, if they're looking for plumbing and heating work, how do they get a hold of you guys once you're back in town and hopefully get a few days of rest?
Oh, well, we're never too concerned about the rest. We got full batteries. I mean, it's just about, you know, getting people what they need. We do have a team up in Jersey right now that is kind of holding down the business on that end.
Yep.
But also kind of to speak to some of the situations that we're finding down here, we're trying to visit a lot of the subdivisions and the people that come, you know, from a lower, you know, income bracket to see how we could help them. And what we've been doing to kind of expand our reach to more families is we've been kind of giving like virtual assistance to people over FaceTime, or if we come to a house and they have a handyman like available, an uncle or a dad who, you know, owns a toolkit or something of that sort, we'll just give them a total breakdown of what they need to fix everything. And that's actually been, you know, a great way for us to kind of reach more people. And it's just been a tremendous turnout, honestly, and a nice, you know, welcoming from everybody from Texas.
You're a good man. You and your brother-in-law are doing a great service down there, and I just wanted to give you guys a little salute. So be careful. Thanks for, you know, on behalf of everybody that just appreciates to hear about people helping people, keep up the good work and safe travels back home, okay?
Thank you very much, man.
You know how people always say, I need a good plumber. Those are good plumbers. And they're super humble about, you know, oh, we're not worried about that. We're not worried about that. If you're in the Morristown area, Mitchell's Plumbing and Heating, their website's mitchellsplumbingandheating.com. Just good people out there trying to help people down in Texas. And that just, I love that. right? And that's tradespeople kind of helping out, which is great. So thank you so much for taking that time. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's see if we can get one more call in here before we need to take a break. This is a Mark calling in from Naperville. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, how may I help you?
I have a question on behalf of my daughter and her husband. They have a house not in this area, in the Kansas City area. They moved into that house 6 months ago, sorry, and it's a new house, about 40 years old. The problem is their heat management. It's a two-story house. The upper level is much, much hotter when the furnace is running than the ground floor. And I don't know if you have any ideas as to why this would happen.
Well, I mean, it starts with physics. I'm assuming it's a forced air heat home,
right?
Okay, so a couple things, Mark, that you can try. One, remember that the staircase heading upstairs is like a giant piece of ductwork, and so any hot air, warm air from the lower levels will go running up that staircase just from physics,
right?
And so balancing the system out. Now, you know what's funny is, we're in a weird time of year now, right? It's still cold, but it's warming up. And typically you do this balancing at the beginning of the season. But before we get to the warmer weather, and you said it's in Kansas City, so that can get pretty hot, have them close the vents on the second floor by 50%.
They've done that. They have done that. Actually, they closed them almost completely.
Okay, but
it's still very warm upstairs.
Okay,
so the registers are on the ceiling, where the air is coming on the upper floor is through the ceiling.
It's through the ceiling. Okay. And to the best of your knowledge, they just have one furnace.
One furnace. Yeah.
One furnace and one thermostat.
Right.
Okay.
And thermostat is on the lower floor.
Got it. So then what may have to happen is you may need to get a heating and cooling person out there to do some calculations to find out if how the venting, the main trunk line, was set up to see if, in fact, there's a breach in the system. They have an actual camera that they can put inside the vents to take a look at it. But if they've closed off the venting completely, 100%, and it's still super hot up there, then there's something wrong with the main feed in the lower level that needs to be addressed. And that's probably something that you're only going to do with the professional help of an HVAC contractor in the area to take a look at. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Up on the roof.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Hey, I have icicles on my house. Does that mean I'm losing heat?
Helping homeowners from coast to coast.
Now, there's a product. It's called Roof Melt.
Those little discs that you throw up on the roof to melt the ice?
Yes, ma'am.
And he wants to help you.
I don't know if you've got a good hook shot, but how's your basketball game?
I'm 79, my hook shot probably isn't too good.
If you need help with your hook shot or anything else under your roof, Lou's standing by. Here he is now on House Smarts Radio.
When this soul
Welcome back.
Starts getting me down and people are just
877-213-4LOU.
Up on the roof. I climb way up to the top.
877-213-4LOU.
All my cares just drift right into space.
Catherine is in New Jersey. Hi, Catherine.
How you doing? Hi.
How may I help you?
I enjoy your show every week.
Thank you.
My daughter, can I ask you a question now?
You absolutely may. I'm standing by waiting for you.
Okay. My daughter has five kids and a huge kitchen table. And there's a stain, like a white cloudish, white cloud looking, that came on the table from some busy little fingers. But anyway, that's the only thing that's wrong with the table. It's perfectly good otherwise.
Is it is it a wood finish table, Catherine?
Yes, it's wood, yes.
Okay.
It's a wood finish.
Do you have a piece of paper and a pencil or pen handy?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, tell me when you're ready. I'm going to tell you exactly what product to go buy and how to fix this problem.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. You're going to need a microfiber towel, you know, like one of those wash towels, those microfiber towels that you probably use. You know, it doesn't have to be anything special. Yes. Then you're going to go to the hardware store or the home center and buy a bottle, a small little quart bottle of Howard's Restore a Finish.
Howard's Restore?
Howard's, like the name Howard, Restore, like you're going to restore a piece of wood, Finish. Howard's Restore a Finish. And they make it in, they make it in different... shades, but I would just buy the neutral. Okay, now here's the thing: this is a petroleum based product, so it's smelly. And you said you have little ones in the place, so we need to open up some windows because it can be smelly. Have your daughter or whomever's going to do this work pour a little bit onto the microfiber towel so that it's not soaking wet, but it's wet. Okay. Then, with light pressure with the grain of the table, you're going to wipe this across, and you're going to remove that white ring, and then have her take a clean cotton rag and just clean it up when you're done.
Sounds good.
All right?
Sounds good. Okay, you pour, after you put on the neutral color on the table, then you wipe it clean with the...
Okay, but hear me out. Hear me out. You don't pour it onto the table. You pour it onto the rag.
Onto the towel, yeah. Okay.
So it's got to go onto the rag first so that the rag is wet. Not dripping wet, but, you know, damp. Better than damp. And so then and then you're going to go just gently. Don't really bear down on that because you'll remove the finish. It's a lot like going to the beauty salon and getting a facial.
Okay.
I've never had one, so I don't. I'm. That's what I'm told.
I could use one of them right now.
Don't use the Howard's on your face.
No, I won't. I'll try not.
All right, Catherine. Good luck. You've got your marching orders. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU 877-213-4568. Let's see if we can get one more call in here. This is Celeste, who's in Racine. Hi, Celeste. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi.
Good morning.
Well,
Celeste?
Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, I have a furnace, and I'm told that the chimney tiles on the inside are crumbling, and that we either have to direct vent our water heater, because the power vent goes up the chimney, or I have to replace the water heater and vent it to the outside of the house.
Okay. Okay, let me ask you this. So the furnace you currently have and the water heater you currently have feed into that chimney?
Chimney, yes.
And what is the age of both of those appliances?
Well, I mean, the house was built in 88.
And it's original. So
the water heater's maybe 5 years old.
And what about the furnace?
Oh. I don't know.
Well, I mean, this is my point. You know, you can have a chimney. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You can have a chimney liner installed, okay? And you could keep the appliances that you have vented into the chimney. So the crumbling that you talk about, they can just make sure that it's at least sound, and they can put down a stainless steel sleeve down the center of it and vent through that. And so they basically encase the
Right.
So that's like $1,000, right? Or if you replace all those, it's more than that, right? But now if you replace all those appliances, it costs even more. And I would probably, if your appliances are less than 10 years old, go the route of the chimney liner, which would make the most sense. Thanks so much for the phone call. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of House Smarts Radio. The next hour is coming up. Have a great morning, and more coming up right after this break.
Just a minute. I have to tell you, I went to Menards. And I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Mm-hmm.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck.
Welcome back.
Some nights I call it a draw.
House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini.
Some nights I wish 7:10
in the morning. 877-213-4. Lou is our phone number.
But I still
877-213-4568. How can I help you this morning? Okay, before we get to... Maybe we'll do this later in the hour. Concerning the things you use in your house that aren't supposed to be for your house. Because I think that sharing the Brent Seabrook story is the most important thing in this, because I think that Don and Joe both are really on edge to understand what's going on.
I need
and Don
this.
And Joe, you would not know this, but how many years ago? You may be shocked to know that there was once a Mr. Fix-It calendar.
Oh, boy.
That's awesome.
12 months.
12 months of Lou.
Of Mr. Fix-It.
And so... How many years ago was that? Were you even married?
I think it was 2010.
2010. So it was before you got married. And so this was a whole brainchild of a woman that used to work for us, Jackie Paulus, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And Jackie's awesome. And so the whole idea is that they hired a photographer, and then we went around Chicagoland and took these iconic Chicago pictures for each month, okay? So, for instance, you know the sky deck at the Sears or the Willis Tower?
Mm-hmm.
I'm there with a thing of glass cleaner cleaning the glass.
Nice.
Right?
So needed to be done.
Right. But here's the other thing, too. This is just an aside. Jackie Paulus, who used to work at WGN Radio, she's an extremely athletic, fit woman. She did a handstand on the sky deck. Remember? I think I had that picture somewhere.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I do
Which
remember
Which really freaks you out. Anyway, Lindsay's there, and myself, and Jackie, the photographer, that was like an intern back when we had interns that was helping Jackie. Do you remember? There was a whole bunch of us. We'd get in this van, and we went to the sky deck. We went to the bean, and I had this long pole, and I was cleaning and polishing the bean. Right? It's a whole, you see the theme here, right?
Totally. Did you do the polar plunge?
So one of the stops, because at that time, the Blackhawks... we're still, you know, part of WGN Radio. We went to the United Center. They put me in a uniform. And, the shot was me sharpening skates. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they even blacked out one of my teeth.
And they blacked one of your teeth out.
So I look like, you know, one of the Hanson brothers. We go into the locker room. They took a couple pictures in the locker room. So you know how in the Hawks locker room, there's the big Indian head on the center, and you're not supposed to step on the Indian head?
I forgot about that.
Right. Yeah. Did you step on it? You stepped on it.
Yeah.
They go, don't step on the Indian head. Lindsay walks right across it.
I did. Oh, God.
Remember?
I still feel bad about that.
Yes. Literally, it came out of the mouth.
It was like, everyone just stop talking.
Right. And like, don't make sure you don't step on. She goes, huh? And she walks right across it.
It's
right?
A superstition.
God,
man.
That's embarrassing.
Okay. So remember, you know, the Hawks, how they have where they sit each player, they have like a little cubby hole and they have their names above it, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, they had put like over one of mine that said, Mr. Fix-It. And I'm in uniform. It was cool. It was a really cool thing. As we're milling about, Lindsay's already stepped on the Indian head. Out from around the corner walks Brent Seabrook.
Brent Seabrook.
And now Lindsay will take it from there. Go ahead.
Okay, he was in nothing but a towel wrapped around his waist coming back from the shower.
It wasn't a towel, it was a dish rag.
He had wet hair and
he just got out of the shower.
Back and then he had no shirt on and he had this little like doily wrap around his.
So here's the thing. So it's myself. Photographer who's a guy, and not that matters, but and then there's Lindsay and Jackie, and there's like several women, and we're all talking. He walks in like not knowing we're there, or maybe he did, and he's got this little towel, like it barely fits around his waist, so like one side of his leg you can see all the way to his hip. True or false?
True like, story.
It's like it a loincloth.
Talking. And then he goes, oh, sorry. And the place goes silent. And at that point, you hear, this is what you hear. What was that? Lindsay's jaw hitting the floor.
Not only mine, everybody's everybody. There, including yours.
Including mine. I'm like, wow, he really works out.
Yeah. That's a fit man right there.
That is so a fit man.
Nice.
That
like
was
the,
a memory for the books.
I like that he had like the Golden Globes dress on, though, like the slit up the up a small oh, towel, yeah. loincloth. Mm-hmm. It's classy.
So then, it's
pretty funny.
Was
pretty
the
sure
next,
anybody would have jaw dropped at that.
Was the next picture Lou in a towel? And just
no, I said,
out.
Hey, Brent, can we take a picture? I think we actually did.
Right, there you go.
We did.
Some calendars.
And I think he said, let me go put a shirt on. Like, he did go get dressed and then came back out.
Maybe
he was a really nice guy.
Maybe that's what happens anytime someone steps on the Indian head in the locker room. You know, Brent Seabrook just strolls
well,
out.
Well, then give me that thing back. I will do a tap dance on it.
All right. Coming up later on, I want to hear about something you use in your home from the two of you. That isn't designed to be in your house. We have a list of really funny things I posted on Facebook, and we got a ton of question or responses from people that were sending us information about the different things that they use. Oh, I use this, I use that, and the very first thing that got posted, everyone can relate to, and then we've got another list of a bunch of things as well. But let's do this. 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. I'll take a quick break, and we'll get to your calls right after this. 877-2134-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Don in Evergreen Park. Hey, Don, good morning.
Morning, Lou. Hey, I got a question for you, if it's anything to worry about. I've got galvanized drain pipe coming down from the kitchen sink.
Okay.
Down the wall in the basement.
Okay.
There's a joint where it turns a pair of 22 and a half and a short nipple in between.
Okay.
And it's a buildup of powder, similar to what you may see on a car battery terminal post.
Mm-hmm.
Like oxidation or some kind of effervescence of some sort. Just wondering
it's not,
how much I should worry
it's about. It's not leaking.
No.
Okay. But it is, okay, so the thing with galvanized.
I mean, there could be some seepage coming through because it's all threaded on
Yeah.
On a nipple.
And this is all original galvanized to the house?
Correct.
Yeah. Here's the thing. When it stops flowing, then you got to replace those pipes. With galvanized, what I have seen time and time again is that one day it works fine, and I'm assuming right now the sink is draining, you're having no problem whatsoever, right?
Oh, well, correct. Initially, when I moved in about 4 years ago, I had to get in it with a drill attachment of a wand and, mm-hmm. and whip it up a little bit. And mm-hmm. luckily, at the very bottom of it is the clean-out that goes to
okay.
the pit outside.
One day, it's not going to flow, and you're going to put a rod in there, you're going to try a chemical or whatever, it's not going to work, and then you're going to make the decision that I got to cut that pipe out, and you're going to cut the pipe out, and it's going to be solid full of gunk, and you can be...
I discovered that at my parents' house.
Yeah, and you're going to look at it going, wait a minute, yesterday the water flowed, no problem, and how is it that it's clogged now? So you can hedge your bet a little bit. there is a drain opener that I talk a lot about that I really like called InstaFlow, but they make a product called EcoFlow that is an enzyme, and it is these. It's a dry product. It's not a. It's not a liquid. And before, what you can do is pour a little bit in the sink, pour boiling water over the top so that it dissolves. And you'll hear it sizzle and snap, crackle, and pop. You let it sit there for about 90 seconds or so, and then you rinse it with water. It'll help to dissipate some of the gunk buildup there and buy you more time. But eventually,
okay.
you're probably going to replace those pipes. But until it stops flowing, I mean, unless you're just like, you know what, I'm going to tackle this project now. I'm going to replace that pipe all the way down to where the clean out is, and then you'll be done. You know, you can certainly do that now, or you can just wait until it doesn't flow anymore.
Okay. Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Installing a dishwasher in an island position,
mm-hmm.
As far as running the drain hose that comes with it that usually goes to the tube fitting under the sink, do I need to keep that hose at a height above the water line like you would do with a washing machine to prevent siphoning?
You
when you above like the pump
when you come if you so you're going to put a dishwasher in and you're going to connect to the drain assembly that's underneath the sink, correct?
No, I'm going straight through the floor, through a kitchen cabinet or through a cabinet in the laundry room, and then I'm going to connect in the laundry room drain that runs to the same.
Well, you need a trap. You need a trap.
Okay,
You need a trap. Otherwise, you'll smell the odor from the. So typically, like if you're going into an island, you know, with a typical dishwasher, you know, the hose connects at the bottom, and then it comes when it comes into the cabinet. The typical installation is it goes up, and they drill a hole at the top of the cabinet, and then come back down, so that the hose itself creates the trap. Otherwise, you'll get odor if you go.
Okay, I can do that too then.
You need some sort of trap, otherwise you'll smell inside the dishwasher every time.
Okay.
Make sense?
No, absolutely. All right. Thank you.
Appreciate you calling this morning. Thanks so much. 877-213-4-LOU. I have a farm story for you. It's a good one, and it's one of my favorite things. It's something my wife doesn't understand about me. It's like, I love hot sauce. And so if I'm doing something like eggs or something, I'll put the hot sauce right on it. She says, you haven't even tasted it yet, and you put the hot sauce on it. I love hot sauce. Our farm story, hot sauce.
Who would have thought hot sauce could combat a hailstorm? Surely not Dana and Karen Jokula of Cannon Falls, Minnesota. The Jokulas own Sogan Valley Farm, and in August of 2020, just 4 days before harvest, their 30-acre farm was hit by a hailstorm that tore through their fields and damaged $100,000 worth of crops. Of the crops destroyed were peppers that are normally used in the Minneapolis-based Crybaby Craig's hot sauce. Craig Kaiser, founder of Crybaby Craig's, heard about the damage done at Sogan Valley and went down to see for himself and to see how to help. When Craig heard that Dana and Karen were thinking about composting everything that the hailstorm had damaged, he offered to at least take some of it and see what he could make. Craig ended up leaving Sogan Valley with nearly 5 55-gallon drums of peppers from habanero to bell. What followed was 6 months of work that created big taste out of a big bummer. Craig calls the result the Hail Fire, a black sauce with a mix of peppers, a kick of pickle, and a whole lot of good. And I'm not just talking about the taste. This limited release sauce is giving 100% of its proceeds back to the Jokulas and all of their employees over at Sogan Valley Farm, who endured the rough harvest season that last August hailstorm brought with it. This farm is beating the hail with heat, one bottle at a time.
I got to talk to Carmen about getting me a bottle of that hot sauce. Happy to pay for it, but that sounds like a really good use of... I love the ingenuity of people, especially in the ag world. That's our farm story for this week. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. Let's go down to Decatur, Illinois, and talk to Marilyn, who's on the line. Hi, Marilyn. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Love your show.
Thanks.
Try to catch it every Saturday.
Thank you so much. How may I help you?
We have a programmable thermostat. It was installed in 2003, and the buttons to adjust the temperature higher or lower aren't working as well as they should. It's almost like you have to keep pushing and jiggling your finger around to find the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to replace it, or is there something I can do?
Well, I mean, have you, you know, it could just be dust or debris. I mean, I think the first thing I would do is take the hose from the vacuum cleaner, if you have it, put it right over the top of those, and turn it on. If you have a little shop vac or something like that that has a little more power, just place it right over there, turn it on, and let it, you know, for 30 seconds and see if there's any dirt or debris in there that you clean out. There's also, you know, that you can buy for computers and whatnot, these compressed air canisters with the little nozzle on the end of it.
Right.
You could buy one of those and put the little hose right by the buttons and spray that out to see if that clears it. That could solve the problem. If it doesn't, I would not do anything like a lightweight oil or anything like that.
Oh, no, I haven't done that.
2003, I think you've gotten your money's worth out of that programmable thermostat. It's a fairly easy replacement. You know, typically it's four wires, and the wires are color-coded so that when you put the new one on, you know, the W is the white and the Y is the yellow and the B is the blue. You just follow that along. And, you know, when it comes to, and then if you want, you know, you could go to a Wi-Fi thermostat. There's a myriad of things you can do since 2003 to make things better.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And one quick question. Mm-hmm. While I was on hold, you said something about your laminate floors will shine, but I didn't hear the tip to make them shine.
Like the top of the Chrysler building?
It's probably
there is a couple of products that you can do to bring the finish back. One such product is by Rejuvenate. So if you have if you have laminate floors that maybe have lost their luster, this is a product you can put over the top of it, which will bring the shine back. What are you laughing at?
I want to say lost that love and feeling.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it'll bring it back. But keep in mind that when you use that product, it's not a forever product. So in other words, 6 months from now, you're like, oh, it's not shiny anymore. You got to go and reapply it.
Right. Right. Okay, well, thank you so much. I'll try the tip, and if it doesn't work, I think we'll just go ahead and replace it.
You got it. Thanks so much for the phone call. I really appreciate it. You're living your own little show in there, right? You're singing your own songs
it's
and
so
having
great.
Your own fun. Okay, when we come back after the break, we're going to talk to someone concerning the use of natural products inside your home. You know, there's so much talk about synthetics, and, you know, wood is good. And it's still a terrific product to use. And the more natural products you bring into your home, ultimately, it's a healthier home. So we're going to learn a little bit more about that coming up right after we take a break and time for news.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
I understand you have a personal relationship to wood, and I wanted to get your feelings about wood. What does it say to you? Here's a piece of mahogany.
Mahogany, it's like royalty. If you respect it, then you will not be punished. And when treated with adoration, it gives off a gentle sheen.
Here's cedar.
Cedar is more of like a dependable hippie. It's light on its feet and doesn't take anything too heavily, but then when the going gets tough, you can count on it. Also, like a hippie, it's very fragrant.
Hey, wood is good. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. All right, if you listen to the show with any regularity, you know I'm a big fan of wood. There's a saying in the wood industry, wood is good. Joining me on the phone line is Jeff Easterling. He is the president of the Northeastern Lumber Manufacturers Association. Jeff, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Yes, good morning, Lou, and thank you for this opportunity. And great show, by the way. a lot of good resources for consumers.
Oh,
absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your association and what it is you folks do?
Sure, absolutely. There are several of us types associations around the country that deal with lumber grading, of all things. So consumers that have done some of their own projects will see a grade stamp on the face of the lumber. Well, that's us. We write the grade rules for lumber for the Northeastern species and the Great Lakes species. And so that stamp will indicate our organization and what grade it is, et cetera. So we work with the mills on the grading, but we also have quite a few resources for marketing and using wood products, especially, you know, like spruce pine fir for studs and other framing, and eastern white pine for interior. So we're pleased to offer a number of resources to check out how to use it, what it's all about, things of that nature.
I think that a lot of probably the average consumer doesn't realize that the grading of the lumber is actually pretty important in the fact that, you know, architects, engineers will design a specific grade. Like they'll say, you need to use this type of lumber with this type of grading that has to do with the quality, the grain, the strength. I mean, that grading really goes into the overall integrity of a structure.
It does. You know your stuff, Lou. Yes, each grade and each species is assigned a strength value. So architects, as you said, and engineers can then decide where it can be used in that home, whether it's a header or just regular framing, you know, things of that nature. Now, on the appearance grade, which is for more the walls and interior, like for Eastern White Pine, of course, it still needs to be graded because it's how the look is determined, but there's no strength values. But, yeah, it's absolutely critical for the construction grades that it's graded properly so it will perform as it's supposed to.
You know, there's been obviously a big movement in the last probably 10 years or so to synthetics, different types of blends between wood and a synthetic material or 100% synthetic. And while they do have, you know, many positives, you know, a guy like me who comes from being, you know, my training and my background is in carpentry. You know, I'm still a big fan of wood. I'm still a big fan of how it looks visually. And I mean, I would argue, and I have to imagine you're going to agree, that the beauty that you get on the appearance side and the transformation of some of the products that are now available to use even on the interior side have changed quite a bit and really are just some of the most beautiful things you've seen.
Yes. You know, the trend now is to real wood. There's no question about it. And there's a term called biophilic. I don't know if you've heard that recently, but there's actually studies completed that it makes people feel much better when they're surrounded partially or fully by wood inside a building. So now there's actually proof of what we've always kind of felt, that warm feeling when you're in a room that has either on the ceilings or walls or floors, what have you. And, you know, you're talking about the synthetics. You know, it's funny. Well, it's kind of funny, but they try to make it look like wood. That's
right.
What the
funny
part is. So even though they're competing against wood and marketing against it, they still try to make it look like wood.
Yeah. I have noticed if I go to a building center or even some of the big box stores, talking about interior trims, you know, these real wood applied veneers now, like for wall cladding, you know, interior wall cladding that people can use that, you know, several years ago didn't exist. And it certainly seems like the lumber industry said, okay, we got to come up with ways to be more competitive, but we're also going to create something that's just so beautiful and easy to install. I mean, that's the thing that I've seen even the wood industry kind of step up to the plate.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. You know, things also like pre-finished interior product like tongue and groove paneling or V-groove, things like that, that's already pre-finished with semi-transparent stains already from the mill. So they have definitely gotten creative in ways to help the consumer use the product even much easier.
The other thing I want to ask you about is, you know, there's a lot of talk, and I talk a lot on this show, too, about indoor air quality. And, you know, your home is filled with a lot of different products and, you know, volatile organic compounds that are inside your home from a lot of those synthetics. And I'm not dogging on synthetics because I'm not anti-synthetic, but I am pro-wood. So the natural aspect of the wood inside a home can tend to build help you build a more healthier home.
Absolutely. You know, you're right. You've got, you know, carpet and plastics and drywall and all that sort of thing that, you know, it, unfortunately, most of those do have some off-gassing. But, yes, real wood is just such a natural element. And, you know, the one thing that I do want to make sure that I convey, and even though we don't think we have to always remind people, but we should, is that wood is renewable. It's natural and it's renewable. So many of those other materials are not. They're made from fossil fuels or, you know, what have you. But we do like to remind people that you're using a renewable, natural product that will be around forever.
That is such an important aspect of this conversation because I talk about that as well. I mean, the wood industry, it's a crop. It's no different than soybeans or corn or wheat. It's just a question of it just takes a little longer to grow that tree to turn into lumber. But the lumber industry has always been very good stewards. I mean, they recognize the fact that if I'm going to cut a tree down that's been growing for 30 years, I better plant another tree so that I can keep this industry growing. And the benefits, obviously, of the 30-plus years or so that these trees are growing to the environment is, I mean, I don't know what you could put it up against. Nothing. It's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, we like to use the analogy for just the state of Maine. It's interesting that the trees have been cut there since the 1600s, or even a little bit earlier, obviously. And that state, even after all these 400-plus years of using wood off of the forest, is still 93% forested. So, you know, that fact itself tells you it's sustainable and it's certainly renewable, and it will be around because the industry, they are good stewards of the land because they want to stay in business, obviously.
Yeah. I know that you're based out of Maine and that kind of area. So primarily the lumber industry, you know, in the Northeast up there in that area, what type of trees are being grown and produced into lumber?
Mm-hmm, sure. For construction grades, it's mainly eastern spruce and balsam fir. And then in the Great Lakes, which is also our area, you'll see a lot of red pine. I know you're out of Chicago, mm-hmm. so you'll see a lot of construction out of red pine from mills in northern Minnesota, Wisconsin, and northern Michigan. So those are the primary species for construction. And then for the appearance grade, it's really eastern white pine. And the market for all of these products, whether they're produced in the Great Lakes or the Northeast, is pretty much anywhere east of the Rockies. You'll find the products produced by our member mills.
Interesting. Very interesting. Jeff, do you guys have a resource for consumers if they wanted to learn more about your association and some of the offerings that they can look at as resources for you know, building or renovating in their own homes?
Absolutely. Thanks, Lou, for mentioning that. We have two websites in particular. One is called easternwhitepine.org, which deals with that more appearance. And on there, we have a lot of ways that you can see how the product's used. We actually have a virtual home tour with several doors that you can enter and really see how wood is used in various applications. And it will pinpoint, you know, what was used, how it was finished, what grade was used, so you could actually mimic that look if the consumer would like. But that's a real interesting part of that website on easternwhitepine.org. Then for other aspects of the industry, our flagship website is NELMA.org, NELMA for Northeastern Lumber Manufacturers Association, NELMA.org. A lot of technical, a lot of history, some really interesting stuff there. So both, you know, if a consumer has an inkling of how the product's either being used. We even have installation tips.
Love that.
All of those types. We have videos there, how-to videos of
That's
how
great.
It's used.
That's awesome.
We would recommend that.
NELMA.org is that website. Jeff Easterling is the president of Northeastern Lumber Manufacturers Association. Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. I really do appreciate it. Wood is good, my friend. We got to get those T-shirts out there.
Thank you very much, Lou.
You got it. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We need to take a quick break.
Now back to your favorite fixer-upper guy, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. All right. And when I speak of you, I see envy in other men's eyes. Get back to the phone lines. And talk with Dan in Oak Lawn. Hey, Dan.
You have been helping people for decades, and you need to get a compliment.
Oh, wow. That's very nice. Thank you.
And I know you wouldn't normally take this call because you're so humble, but when you were talking to that plumber earlier and you were saying to him, like, you know, bless you for doing that. You know, you need that too.
Oh,
you've done nothing but help people.
That's very nice of you. Thank
literally
you.
Literally, decade.
That's
now,
very
I'm not
nice.
Done with you. I'll pretend to ask a fake question.
Okay.
Can I do it in my mother's voice?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
When they put the heater in the little closet and they tell you leave this open because there's a vent, and she refuses to believe that that's the intake.
Right.
I really thank you. You've helped people. I know where the intake is and all that.
That's good. Well, you're very kind to call. I really do appreciate that, and it is my Aww. It is my pleasure. And you know, I'm just so blessed to be able to do this every week, and and I've said this, you know, time and time again that you know, WGN Radio, you know, is all about the people that listen, and without you and the people that listen to this entire radio station, there's no WGN Radio. It's always been about the listeners, and this station belongs to you guys, and we're just you know, myself and the other people on air here, we're just the stewards. I just happen to be the steward on Saturday morning, and have the ability, hopefully, to help people when it comes to working and fixing and doing stuff around their home. And that's very kind of you to call in. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's go and talk to Marcia right over here, who's in Huntley. Hi, Marcia. You're on House Smarts Radio. Marcia? Is that Marcia? Maybe this isn't Marcia. Who's this? I hear her. No? Marcia, Marcia, Marcia? Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. All right, well, let's...
Yeah, hi.
Hi. How can I help you, Marcia?
Listen, I'm a new homeowner of an old home, and my driveway, I know absolutely nothing about asphalt driveways. There's about a half an inch crack that goes horizontally across the driveway.
Side to side.
And I've got some minor cracks, and I don't know if this is something that can be fixed or if I'm looking at ripping out the whole driveway and getting a new one in.
Well, what is the, other than those cracks, I mean, overall, would you say the driveway looks pretty good?
Not really. I think it's the association of the development I'm in, seal coats driveways
I
every
see.
Couple of years.
Okay.
So it's my turn in the summer. So I don't know if this big crack is something that, you know.
Well, a half an inch crack in an asphalt driveway is not crazy. Okay,
uh-huh.
So here's the thing. You're a brand new homeowner. You got plenty of expenses when it comes to buying a brand new home. And, you know,
right.
a driveway, asphalt driveway, if you're going to replace it, is not an inexpensive proposition. And if you're in a development with other homeowners, you know, that uh-huh. sometimes associations may do this. You know, they may schedule a bunch of them to be done at once, which will make it more cost efficient than just you hiring your own person. So you may want to investigate that. That half inch crack can absolutely be filled. Not now, obviously. When it warms up, you'll clean the driveway, you'll, you know, sweep it up, and then that you're going to fill that gap with something called a caulking rope, which is it's a piece of foam that's like a spaghetti that you'll jam inside
okay.
there. And then you'll buy a couple of tubes of Black Jack asphalt crack filler. And they even make it in a gallon jug, which if it's the whole width of the thing, you may want to do that. And it has a little spout. And you'll squirt it in there, and you'll fill that joint right over the top of that. And from there, let that dry, and then you'll seal coat over the top of that. And that'll buy you some time so that you don't have to, you know, if in the budget to replace it all is not there, you can wait and plan it out. And when you seal coat it, it'll look a whole heck of a lot better. And you can also use that same product to fill the smaller cracks to avoid water getting in there, ice forming, and making the driveway even worse. Thanks so much for the phone call. 7:57 in the morning, we need to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology.
8:10 in the morning.
Don't know much about a science book.
Okay.
Don't know much.
So I posted a picture, Don and Joe and Lindsay, this week on my Facebook page. If you go into our primary bathroom in our house, and you have a waste paper basket in your bathroom, right? Everybody has a... Can we agree? We all...
Yeah, totally.
Okay. The waste basket in our bathroom is a... It is a plant basket. Like, it's a woven, like a reed basket that has a plastic liner. It's not a garbage can. It's a basket that you would put a plant in.
Mm.
And it has been... the waste paper basket under our vanity for at least 10 years. And I laugh every time I open up the thing and, you know, put my dental floss in there or whatever it is. And every Thursday when it's garbage day, we take it out and empty it. And I'm like, this is so funny that we don't have an actual garbage can. It's a waste basket, you know, or it's a plant basket using this item that's not what it's intended for.
Right.
Right?
Totally.
But it works. And so I posted and I asked the Facebook audience, and we were inundated with people who sent, like, well, I got this, and I use this for this, and I use this for this. I mean, hundreds of responses. The very first response that I got from a guy, you know, he goes, oh, well, I got a treadmill, and I keep all my my laundry on it.
Good coat rack.
Right, so funny.
Good coat rack, right? Somebody, right. So do you two have anything in your home that you thought of that like, oh, well, yeah, I guess I do this, and it's not what it's for?
The one that came to mind for me immediately was cut. I'm not sure if it counts, but it's a foam like mattress topper that, you know, you just put on that you're supposed to sleep on. And I just, sure. I've cut that up and I put it up in a closet and coated the walls to make it like more acoustically friendly in there for like voiceover stuff.
That counts. Absolutely.
That counts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a great place to take a nap.
Right. Yeah. Just lean against the walls. It's nice in there.
Joe?
Yeah, I honestly feel like I've had a couple. Of course, in high school, I used some of my books to level out my pool table down in the basement.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Mice and Men in that corner and Kill a Mockingbird
the bird.
The other. Yeah. You bring up the plant wastebasket, and it reminded me of something in the minor leagues. There was this visiting team, and the manager always complained about his office. He said it's too small, the door opens on the wrong side, and there's this leak coming from a pipe in the ceiling, and I keep telling them, and they won't fix it. And he had the same job for 2-3 years. He kept telling them, they wouldn't fix it, or at least just kept pushing it off. So he bought a tree, a little tree, and put it in the corner of his already crammed office. And he's like, well, I'm just going to make the best out of a bad situation. So I don't have to water this tree.
That's awesome.
The water goes right into it. So then, you know, the general manager comes out. He's like, what is this tree? He's like, well, since you're not going to fix the leak, I made a solution out of it.
I love it. Somebody sent a picture of their kids who are doing their e-learning on the cat tower. You know those cat towers?
Oh, I know. Yes.
And these little kids, like, they have their computers set up, and that's where they're like, we think the kids like the cat tower more than the
more
cat.
More than the cat.
It's like a standing
desk. One person turned a locker and shutters into a wine cabinet,
which I
thought was pretty good. This one person uses Seagram's vodka for cleaning, which I think is, you know, why not? And then you can also drink a little bit. It says, I have a garage workbench that I painted and changed the knobs on, and I use it as my coffee, tea, toast bar. Did you see that picture?
And they sent a picture.
Yeah,
yes.
Beautiful. I mean, it looks really good. Then this one person said, I use a sugar straw, the large one, the kind that drinks the sugar from, as a vacuum attachment to reach places such as inside my dryer and under the fridge. I hold it in my hand at the top of the vacuum hose. It works like a dream.
No, you know, like the sugar straws that the kids, like the gross, like
they
just suck the sugar out of the straw.
Oh, like pixie sticks.
Yeah, so clever.
Yeah. And then,
right.
And then this one person goes, we have earthquakes here. This is pretty good. So we use drapery hooks to hang pictures. I bend out the sharp end, I pound it into the wall, and I push the hook part against the wall. When we have a shaker, the pictures just swing back and forth.
Oh, wow.
Nice. How about that?
That's got to be cool and, to see, too.
Innovative.
And then this is Lindsay's favorite, which was really good. It says, my children are 44 and 42. I use their old diaper pail as our garbage can, lined with garbage bag, under our kitchen sink. She said, I, too, smile every time I take the bag out of the diaper pail and drop it on my toes. I so miss those days of using it for the intended purpose.
So sweet.
That's so sweet.
It's really nice. It's nostalgic, too.
So sweet. Speaking of so sweet, before we get back to phone calls, I have a book. I'm not a big reader. Right. We've got one guy that called in. We're not going to really take calls on this, but a gentleman called in. He says he's got something that he thought was interesting to use. This is Mark on the line. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Enjoy your show. How are you?
I'm good. What do you use that's not intended for it?
So I've got this 18-inch Toro snowblower, which I got from the good folks at Ace up in Mundelein, Holly. So
nice.
Shout out to them. And before the last snowstorm, storm, I was prepared to tackle it when that starter key, which looks like a little orange plastic domino, went missing.
Mm-hmm.
So I went online in a panic to find out where can I get one. And I found a YouTube video that says if you take the butt end of a plastic fork and insert it in there, it breaks the circuit, start it up like a dream.
So you use your snowblower, you took a plastic fork, jammed it in there, and it works fine.
Didn't jam it. It fit like it was made to. And it substituted perfectly for the key, and I used the fork afterwards and enjoyed a pasta salad.
I love that. Thank you so much. That is great. That is so great. All right, speaking of real sweet, and then we'll take a quick break. I have a book that I want you all to pick up and read. I don't know if you've heard about this book, Lindsay. And for those of you that aren't big readers, I'm telling you, this book is what you're going to want to read. It's called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. Have you heard about this book at all? Anyone? It's by an author by the name of Charlie Mackesy, M-A-C-K-E-S-Y. My wife saw this book. I think it might have been on the Today Show. It kind of is a little reminiscent of the book The Giving Tree. It's a book you'll read in 15 minutes, and it's a book that you will go back to time and time again. In times like we're in now, where we need to reset ourselves and worry about things that we want our life to be, this book, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse, will be the best 15-minute read you have had in a long time. And I've read it, and I've already gone back to it several times to reread some of the quotes just as a reminder about what's important in life. Again, the book, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. Beautiful illustrations.
Hmm.
It'll take you 15 minutes to read.
It's like about 60 pages here on the Google, is what I'm seeing. 66, something like that.
Beautifully, beautifully illustrated by the author. The author is Charlie Mackesy, M-A-C-K-E-S-Y. It's probably sold out, but it's worth
it. Do I need the pictures? I just put it on my audiobook. Do I need the pictures, or is it, can I?
You need the
pictures. These illustrations look pretty good.
This is a book you put in your hand, and this is a book you read, and this is a book that when you're sitting there and you're like, you need a little pick-me-up, you pick this thing up, and you just even read 3-4 pages. The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, the Horse.
Nice.
Time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. Let's talk about flooring. It's a huge factor in the look of any room. Add a wow factor to yours with extra wide and extra long luxury vinyl planks in rich wood grain brown and gray tones and in stock at Builder's Supply Outlet. 100% waterproof, scratch and stain resistant, and ideal for active families with children or pets. These luxury vinyl planks install in a snap. They're easy to clean, even comfortable to stand on. Make these your next home project. Just get to Builder's Supply Outlet before they're all gone. House Smarts Radio.
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Mike in Elk Grove Village. Hey, Mike. Hello, Mike. Try one more time. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, so a year ago, we had a possum, unfortunately, fall in our window well, and I didn't notice that he was in there until he was decomposing.
Ooh.
And he died over kind of like the drain hole of the window well. So I removed all of the gravel. I poured lots of cleaner and hot water down the kind of the tile drain hole, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I washed out the whole window well as best I could, but now the smell is back again.
And that drain that's in that window well, is it connected to your sump pump area?
It possibly could be, but it's very far from there if it is.
Yeah.
I mean, on the other side of the house.
Right, but so the my guess is it does connect to the drain tile, and if the I know everybody's just waking up, but the carcass of the animal, you know, some of it got down inside there. That can be where some of that odor is from. Do you have the ability yes. with this, like you can take the window out on the basement to access this?
Not really. It has a window that's on a hinge that would, I mean, I can get to the hole that way, but I can't take the whole window out.
Well, my point is, I think we, you need to get like a shop vac and stick that hose down in there and see if you can remove any remains that might be inside there that could be causing the odor. And the other thing is there's this thing called, you can buy this for about $40, depending on how successful you are. It's called the drain lizard, and it's basically a 3-foot-long flexible camera with a little screen. It's only $40. You can find it at the home hardware store or home center. And that'll give you a really good view of what's going on in there because, you know, let's say that you can only get so deep with the with the shop vac, like, oh, I can only go this far. But with the camera, you might be able to at least see if they're like, oh, it's just out of my reach. And then you may need to, reevaluate something else to get down there, a smaller hose, or they've got these little grappling hooks that are flexible, some up to 3 feet long, to try and get that out of there. And then as far as trying to neutralize the odor, you know, you're probably going to want to do something that is, I'm just trying to think of what we could get that you could sprinkle on there. There used to be this product, it's not made anymore, called Odors Out. There's a product called Odobon that is in a gallon jug that will neutralize and take odor away. And you can buy that in a gallon jug that you may, once you get all of the debris out, you may want to pour that full strength down that drain.
Okay, good. Now, if neither of these options work, is there a professional company that I could call, or?
I mean, for something like this, I don't know who you would call. It's not a PermaSeal thing. It's not an animal control thing. And I don't know that they would do this, but you could try. The folks at Executive Green Carpet Cleaning have another division, a commercial division for disaster relief, meaning that, if the basement floods and they do a whole restoration thing, it's a completely different company, but you could contact them, maybe. I'm not making any guarantees that they would help you with this, but...
Yeah.
You could check them out at executivegreencarpetcleaning.com.
Excellent. Can I ask you one more quick question? If I don't look, could I put a hose down that hole and try to flush whatever's there down all the way, or is that not a good idea?
Well, you could. You could, but we need to know where that connects to. So what I would do if you're going to try that, let me ask you this. Where this window well is that part of the basement finished?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're going to do the hose thing, you're going to put a hose on there and don't, just turn it on like, a slow water trickle, because you don't want to flood the basement. And if it is connected to your sump pump, which I bet it is, let it run. It may take an hour for it to get over there because the drain tile also goes into the ground. But if all of a sudden you're like, hey, I'm running that hose and now the sump pump's kicking on, then we know it's connected. Then you can increase the pressure a little bit to see if you can flush things out.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Lou. You're the best.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling this morning. But just one other thing that I want you to think about. A drain tile is not necessarily a smooth pipe, meaning that if you flush it down in there, you know, more than likely from that window well, it goes into a T. And if you flush it out, it's probably going to stop at that T or go either way. And you might just push it underneath the floor, which maybe then that eliminates the smell. Eventually, the smell will go away. But you just got to be careful with that. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Matt in Palatine. Hey, Matt.
Hello. Hello, Lou. Sorry.
Well, if you just say, hey, Lou, then you save time. How can I help you?
Yeah, next time. I'm a first-time caller, I guess. So I got a single-story brick house that was originally, the first part of it's from the 50s, and then there was an addition that later in the 70s or something like that.
Okay.
In the first part of it, it's brick. There's no, I don't know why they built the house this way, but there's no eaves or overhangs. So basically the gutter goes right up to the brick, isn't a soffit. It just goes right up to around there. And I put last year, I think they call it smart vent. It's like a lower ridge vent about 3 feet up from the bottom of the roof. And then I have, you know, an upper ridge vent and I have a fan in there. So the attic is ventilated well. And the attic is fine, but there's a couple walls, exterior walls where I get the dripping coming down like the Virgin Mary under the bridge there in Chicago. And I don't know what else I can do. I've insulated the attic and I pulled insulation away from any edges. So I would hope there'd be good airflow between the brick and the old plaster. But I'm wondering, my last only thought is, should I try to inject insulation in those walls? Or it's when it's really cold, like we had that cold snap, and there's, you know, I don't know what else I could do to keep that. It'll wipe off, but it's kind of an oily drip, and it's we just painted last year, so I don't know what else to do.
Okay. How long have you lived in this home?
About 10 years.
And is this a reoccurring theme, or is this what happened just this year?
No, it's every winter, and I thought maybe this year it wouldn't happen because I had those lower ridge vents put in, but it still happened.
Okay,
and it was better this year.
The attic space above is an unfinished attic space, right?
I put some boards down to put storage up there.
Okay,
but along the edges, it's
But it's not heated.
No,
right.
And I have a ventilation fan up there going always too.
Right.
Okay,
so a couple things. You said it's a brick home built in the 50s, to the best of your knowledge, and it's plaster walls. So are the exterior walls, is the plaster connected to furring strips that is then connected to the brick, or do you have framed walls in front of the brick?
That's a good question. I know it's plaster on, I believe, furring strips. I don't know. I from what I've seen when I did an outlet, there appears to be some space back there, so I'm thinking that there's probably a
And this is in the older part of the house.
Yeah, the newer part I don't have this issue.
Right. So my guess is, so the thing is that, you know, the typical construction of a home in the 50s like this with plaster walls, you've got brick walls and you have furring strips, and you got a little bit of insulation. And this is not uncommon that you're probably getting some wicking from the brick on the outside. So this is probably more of an issue of tuck pointing and sealing of the brick walls than it is an issue with the roof. And
so I had the tuck pointing and sealing done 2 years ago.
Okay. The only way you're going to really know what's going on here, and you're not going to want to hear this, but you're going to have to open up a section of that plaster wall to inspect and see what's going on. And so in order to really figure out where it's coming from, you got to open up the wall. And it's a pain in the neck, and it's a bummer. I get it. But take the spot where it's the worst, open that up, and then determine what's going on. Then you can see, I need to seal the brickwork, or I need this seam right here is where I see water coming down, and I need to fix that. That way you can determine what's going on the right way.
This week's new Tulu 2s are going to shine things up for you. Pretty as a penny. We've got two products from Barry's Restore It All that we have put to the test. All right, first, you love your kitchen, your dream kitchen, but oh wait, what is that scratch along the refrigerator door or the oven door? Ugh, and suddenly you can't see anything else but that scratch. The Scratch Be Gone Homeowners Kit is designed for homeowners just like you with stainless steel appliances, grills, and sinks. The kit will permanently remove blemishes, abrasions, stains, scratches, heat scorch marks, and rust from genuine non-coated brushed or satin stainless steel. It comes complete with everything you need to maintain the appearance of your stainless steel sink, appliance, or grill to keep it looking new. The whole kit restores about 20 to 25 scratches. It works on non-coated stainless steel only and goes for $49.95. The next product is going to be any piece of metal's new best friend. The Easy Shine Polishing Cloth cleans, polishes, and leaves an invisible protective coat on brass, stainless steel, aluminum, chrome, silver, gold, copper. One cloth outlasts a quart of those polishing cleaners you've got on a shelf somewhere. It can polish brass handles and take rust off steel, yet it's gentle enough to clean heirloom jewelry. We put our cloth to the test with an old penny, dark and dull, rubbed it in the Easy Shine polishing cloth for about 20 seconds, then wiped it down with a microfiber cloth, and then we needed sunglasses. The cloth goes for $12.95. You can find out more about both of these products, Scratch Be Gone and the Easy Shine polishing cloth, both from Barry's Restore It All, on HouseSmartsRadio.com.
That's this week's
So this whole Barry's has a complete line of products to do a whole bunch of different things. And I read an article about his company. I was familiar with the Scratch Be Gone, and he has all these different solutions. And so I had Lindsay reach out to them, and they sent us a box that, you know, we could start our own business, right? Selling the stuff.
Right.
And anyway, I came by to pick up some of the stuff. I've used the Scratch Be Gone product, and I used it on the front nosing of our stainless steel cooktop. If you take your time, this is the key. It's not like an instant thing. There's a little elbow grease that has to go into this stuff working. But for those of you that have the beautiful stainless steel, you know, stove that you scratched inevitably, and you know, every time you go to cook, you're like, oh, that scratch drives me crazy. Literally, if you take 15 to 20 minutes and follow the instructions to a T, you're like a metal refinisher.
Right. And that does drive you crazy.
Oh.
I mean, I've done it a couple times.
Oh, and yeah. It's inevitable when you get the brand new stainless steel. You're like, oh, this is so great. And like two months into it, you're like, I scratched it.
Oh.
Right. But then you had a friend tell this story.
So because he sent us so much stuff, I mean, there was no way. I couldn't even keep it in our house. So I took a few of the bottles.
You could like, he's got a product to help you hoof a horse. Anyway, keep going.
Right. So we have a neighbor, and I just dropped off a box of stuff down, and I said, here you go. If you need any of this, feel free. We have extra. So the next day or that week, she sent me a text, and she said, I meant to tell you this earlier. The first month we lived here, I ruined the stone in front of our fireplace by keeping poinsettias on it. There have been two circle water stains ever since, and it had been driving me absolutely crazy, but we could not get rid of them. One of the products you brought over did the trick. It looks as good as new, and I'm so happy. And it was this bottle of Barry's Hard Water Scale Rescue.
Yeah. And Barry
so that made me so happy.
Very
that,
excited about all those different products. So check it out. You can find information at housemartsradio.com, and there's links there to the product and where you can find it as well. Yeah, it's great solution stuff. I love when we can find products that make your life a lot easier. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. How about we go to Wally, and we talk to Wally, and we give him a hat. Wally, we're going to send you out a House Smarts Radio hat, sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Maybe you're working remotely, don't have enough room. Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. Wally, how can I help you?
Hey, Lou, love the show. Love the show a lot.
Thank you.
I've got a suggestion here. I've got a Noodaloo 2 for you. My wife gave me an early birthday present, and I'll keep it G-rated here.
Thank you.
It's a senior GPS. Have you heard about this, Lou?
I have not.
It not only tells you where you're going, it reminds you why you went there.
Ba-dum-bump. Ladies and gentlemen, Wally is here all weekend long. Wear your masks and tip your waiters and waitresses. Wally, don't ever call here again. 877 2. I gave him a hat. Yeah, I read the whole thing. You know what? I really think that what you should do on Saturdays when we're on, you should really stop listening to the Saturday Morning Flashback, the radio show that you listen to.
I think Wally had a question, though, too.
Did he? Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, he was giving
me,
I didn't know. I'll have Wally call back that. Sorry about that. I get nervous when people are going to tell jokes and I got the panic button. I just don't know. Right? So call back, Wally. I'm happy to help you. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Greg in Oconomowoc. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Morning, Lou. How you doing?
Good. How may I help you, sir?
I want to know, what do you recommend to clean cement on a patio and a driveway?
How dirty is this cement?
Well, the patio is, you know, it's the dark stuff. It's dirty, okay? And it's old. The stuff on the driveway is, the driveway is relatively new, but it has rust stains.
Well, I mean, if this has been, so I love the product Wet and Forget, but we're a little too, you know, you can't use that yet because it's a little too cold. But
yeah,
for this kind of dirt and debris, what I would probably, how big is the patio?
The patio is about 15 by 10,
okay.
10 by 15.
Here's what I would do. I'd rent a pressure washer, and I would also buy,
okay,
I'd buy a gallon of crud cutter, which is a degreasing cleaner, and
okay,
you can do one of two things. You could take the gallon jug, put it in a 5-gallon bucket, put a half a gallon of crud cutter, and then put 2 gallons of water, and then with a deck brush, just sort of brush it onto the patio, and you can do this on the driveway too. I'm not looking for you to scrub
okay
it. I just want you to get the cleaner onto the surface. Or you could do that same mixture and put it into a pump sprayer and spray that whole area and then let that sit there for 15-20 minutes. Then come back at it with the pressure washer and clean it all off. That'll get it as clean as possible. And it'll also help you with the rust stains on the driveway. And then after that, and we've got that dirt really deep down cleaning, you know, embedded dirt that's been there. Then once a year, apply a little Wet and Forget on there. They've got a hose end product that will keep that organic material away and keep it nice and clean for you.
Great. That would answer my question.
All right. Let's just make sure it warms up a little bit. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Can I ask you one more thing?
Sure.
Do you reseal cement after that?
I mean, you can, and it's not a bad idea. And so there's a concrete sealer that I've spoken about for years, actually made in Kenosha, Wisconsin, called, oh, my gosh, why am I blanking on the – I'm Bone Dry. Thank you. I'm totally – thank you. Bone Dry. And you can go to bonedryproducts.com. Clean it really well. Follow the instructions. This is a silicate-based sealer that actually will absorb into the top 1 inch of the concrete, and it will seal it, and it'll actually strengthen the concrete as well. And it's a really terrific product. It is not inexpensive. It's about $70 a gallon, but it is quite possibly the best sealer that you can buy on the market right now. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 8:49 in the morning. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
I was writing on a TV show, and at the end of this TV show, I checked my bank balance on the ATM, and I had, not to brag, $5,421 in my bank account. And this is how little I know about being an adult. I saw the bank balance on the ATM screen, and I thought to myself, with no irony, I should buy a house. Not a big house. One of those small $5,000 houses. How is any millennial ever going to own a home? How is any young person ever going to own a home? It's made me hate old people. I see a few of you in here tonight. I hate you. Because every old person in a city like L.A. or New York or London is the same. They're like, my house is worth $2 million, but when I bought it in 1981, I paid 11 raspberries for it.
Now back to your host, right here on House Smarts Radio.
You love that guy's voice.
Not to brag.
Well, not to brag. I have $5,000. Welcome back, Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Oh, okay, so evidently Wally had a question. Wally, I'm sorry I hung up on you, but I get so nervous when people start telling jokes that there's going to be a zinger that then I'm going to be off the air for a month.
I understand, Lou. That's fine.
How may I help you?
So I've got a shower that we use every day, and I've
good.
Got...
Wally, it's good. It's good that we are taking care of our personal hygiene. Keep going.
So it has mold that shows up on the bottom where the grout meets the floor pan,
mm-hmm.
and it only shows up though, Lou, where at the bottom of a grout line, the bottom of a vertical grout line, and I clean the grout off, or I clean the caulk off every 6 months, dry it out with sand, you know, make sure it's completely dry, re-caulk it, and sure enough, a couple months later, the mold shows up again. Is there something I could do? Do I need to seal the grout or something? Is the water getting in through the grout and then going down the wall to the bottom? I just don't know what to do.
All right. So the tile, what is it, like a 4x4 tile or something like that?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yep.
And when you look at the integrity of the grout, you know, overall, in particular, if you come up like from the bottom up about 2 feet or so, does it all look pretty good?
It all looks good. Yeah, there's all no right. cracks. There's no chipping. Now, it's probably a dozen, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's...
So if
it's,
there's hair...
Yeah,
so if there's...
It looks good.
If there's hairline separation, okay, water can get behind that grout. Now, I'm not a huge fan of sealing the grout, but in this case, here's what I would do. I'd remove the caulking one more time.
Okay.
I would seal the grout, and which you can buy a sealer that is it's in a bottle with a little sponge on the end of it, so you just do the grout lines, okay?
Oh, okay.
And it'll fill small little gaps, and more than likely, what it's going to help you with is the gap between the grout and the tile that you can't see, where water potentially is getting in. I want you to re-caulk the tub. Based on the method you just described, with a product called Cleanz, Cleanz, which is a mildew-proof caulking. So much so that the company claims that if you follow their instructions and the thing gets mildewy or moldy, they'll send somebody by to re-caulk your tub.
Wow. Okay.
Now,
can I get that at Mondelēn Ace?
You can, and it comes in almond or white. It may even come in clear. Use that. Give it 24 hours before you go in there and give it a shot. And then, as a new process in the shower that you use every day, when you go to the hardware store, I want you to also buy a bottle of Wet and Forget Shower.
Got it. Okay.
And you're going to once a week spray this down, and in particular that kind of 3 feet knee down is the most important thing. But if you go top down, it will take care of the scale and the soap scum and any mildew and mold, and it will really do a nice job of keeping your shower area mildew and mold free.
Perfect. That's what I needed. That's what I needed. Thank you, Lou, very, very much.
All right, Wally. Thank you so much. Sorry I hung up on you.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Remember this house.
Taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
That it worked by hand. Yeah. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. Yeah. It was a love that I was proud of. This is a life, but a life that he planned. On the love, the same old love. In the house that Jack built. The house that
Welcome back.
Remember this house.
877-2134-LOU. You know, I think most of you know that last, I guess I'm on my second year. You know, I'm still doing the Seattle Sutton healthy eating thing. And I haven't mentioned this. You haven't heard him on the radio. But remember how my kids used to say that, you know, Dad, I'm going to know when you finally made it when there's a bobblehead. And then a few years ago, you, Lindsay, bought me a bobblehead for Christmas.
Yes.
You had a bobblehead made for me, which was really... And we have it, you know, it says How Smarts, and it's my big old head and whatever. But there's now a Seattle Sutton meal named after me.
Wow.
Stop.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
It's the Blue Lou Burger.
Wow. Nice.
Okay, hold on.
So it fun is to a say.
Right? Exactly. It's fun to say. It is fun to say. So it is a blue cheese turkey burger.
Mmm.
Not bad, not bad.
It is
sounds pretty
so,
good.
So it's just enough blue cheese that you spread onto the turkey patty with a pretzel roll.
Oh, man. Pretzel
Lindsay's
rolls.
Lindsay's like holding her, you know, she's like, because she's a vegetarian.
Oh, man.
But then they make the best coleslaw. Like, they have the best coleslaw recipe. So it comes with that. And then it also comes with a little bit of a side pasta salad.
The course. I mean, it's like you're at a barbecue.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Summer.
I'm telling you, it is... Amazing
awesome.
How good that is.
That's cool.
But so I'm transitioning. So the point is, you know, I'm happy. I lost a bunch of weight. I'm keeping it off. I'm still on the Seattle Sutton thing. It works out great. But my wife is like, you know, you need to mix up your exercise a little bit. And because I'll get on the elliptical and I'll do that for an hour, you know, get my heart rate going and whatever. It's like, you're getting weak. Like, okay, I love you.
Right.
I love you. And so, anyway, my son, my oldest son, Quinn, who's very, you know, he's a marathon runner. He's very fit. He, like a lot of the world, has been working from home. He and his fiance, they're big Peloton people. Like, they got one of those bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And they use it all the time. And they love the Peloton bike, right? I'm like, I don't know what I would do with the Peloton bike. Well, evidently, there's like these Peloton workouts that you can do like on a screen.
Without the bike.
Without the bike.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So it's like they have these trainers. And so on Sunday, he said, Dad, I'm going to come over on Sunday and we're going to do a Peloton workout because Mom says you're weak.
In the group text, she said
in the group,
weak.
In the family group text, she, your father is weak. And so she's listening. I'm in so much trouble. So anyway, so on Sunday, this is a week ago Sunday, Quinn comes over, and he's like, all right, we're going to do, it's a 20-minute thing. So, first of all, my wife says, do like a 40-minute thing with him. And Quinn says, Mom, you know, these things are not, they're not easy, and that might be a little too much for the old man. You know, he's weak. And
oh,
so
man.
We do this 20-minute workout with this, so we got a TV, right? And it's only, no weights. It's your own body weight.
Right.
Of doing, like, resistance and whatever. And so, first of all, these trainers that they have on the Peloton thing like that, they're just some attractive people.
Yeah.
Both male and female.
Go figure.
Jets.
It's
yeah,
the
go
job.
Figure. Right? And they're doing, I mean, they're just, and they're positive and they've got good music. Like, you know, they've got like Kanye West and all, I mean, all this, you know.
Right.
I thought about Kanye, but Quinn loves Kanye.
So
I'm like,
happy.
Oh, I love this Kanye song.
So
anyway,
happy.
So it's all legit, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't walk for. I couldn't go down the stairs or up the stairs. You know the Progressive commercial where the guy sits in the chair?
Yeah. Ugh.
I did that until yesterday. Until yesterday. My, like, lunges. There was a bunch of lunges, you know, where you go
oh
up
God.
And then and
oh,
you go yeah. down on your one knee and then you get up and you clap your hands underneath there. You know, my wife's like, I do this all the time. You know, she's like the big Pilates woman. She's super strong. I mean, literally, it was like, ow, ow, ow. Ow, that's me walking. Like to go get
it's
a cup
best
of coffee.
Feeling.
Ow,
yeah.
Yep.
Ow, ow,
those body weight exercises are legit, man. Those are really hard.
I'm telling you what, those people at the Peloton, they're evil. They're not nice people. Just old people.
They know what they're doing.
Well, they know I have a burger named after me. Go easy on the old man.
They should put the burger at the end of the room, yeah. And then that's your motivation.
That's your motivation. Dangle it. Dangle the blue burger.
I'm telling you, can I tell you something about, once again, you know, the whole thing about happy wife, happy life? My wife is right. I'm weak. I got done with this 20 minutes. Like, I'm like, oh I feel gosh. Good. I feel good. And then, like, I went up the stairs. Like, I could barely last Sunday get on the couch to watch 60 minutes.
Oh, man. That's the worst. But you're just struggling to even settle in. Yeah, that's hard.
I couldn't get comfortable to settle in. That is wrong.
It won't always be like that. You just keep it up.
Do they give you, like, shout-outs? Do they go, like, hey,
no.
Lulu in Chicago, you're doing great.
No,
it was a
taped one.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Because I think they do live ones, too.
Oh, yeah,
too,
I know. Quinn said, like, oh, yeah, and you can go there, and he's you know, they do all this all the time. And so I don't think anybody likes me. Come on, Dad, you're weak. Anyway.
Yeah, you're getting...
I don't know. It sounds like you've got some motivational family.
You'll show them.
At least someone's doing it with you, you know? The weak calls aren't just like,
in the group text, Dad's weak.
Everyone likes it. Everyone gives it a thumbs up.
Everyone likes it. They do the ha-ha emoji.
Right,
ha-ha.
Right. A bunch of GIFs come flying in.
Yeah, funny. Okay. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Eris in Homer Glen. Hi, Eris.
Hey, Lou. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, other than I'm weak. How can I help you?
Hey, Lou. The past few weeks with all this snow, I got a Forester home, and on the northwest side was so much snow accumulated that, you know, like an ice dam. And then I noticed on my front window, it's a big window, there's like water just kind of like dripping. Not a lot of water, but there was some water coming. And I, you know, so I'm touching the drywall, and it seems soft. I called the roofer. He's going to come by sometime next week to take a look. But I'm just wondering and thinking, well, what's going on?
Last week, I think it was, I talked to my friend over at Rogers Roofing, John Rogers, and we discussed a lot of this problem with the ice damming. And the thing, even your roofing contractor is going to come, and what you need to be prepared for, Eris, is that they're going to say, your roof is fine. And it probably is fine. And the reason I say that is, with this crazy weather that we had, I mean, isn't it funny to think about how beautiful it is today? And just like 3 weeks ago, we were walking through snow that was as tall as me, right? Piled up at the end of the driveway, right? I mean, people were digging out. I mean, at the end of my driveway was a pile of snow as tall as me, and I'm 6'3". And that's not an exaggeration.
No, you're right.
But the point is that when that ice gets underneath that shingle, it lifts it up, and that's where the water goes. And then when it settles back down again, certainly the roofing contractor can check to make sure that the flashing is okay and nothing got permanently damaged, which certainly is possible, but highly unlikely. The biggest issue with those areas that got wet, quite frankly, you can make a claim on your homeowner's insurance for the damage that's inside. And it may mean, Eris, that you have to pull down some drywall, pull out some insulation to make sure that it's dry. If you leave that unattended and you're just kind of like, ah, it'll dry, it'll be fine, the issue you may have is that it could be a mildew and mold issue long term, which is the last thing that you want.
Got it.
Okay, so, I mean, that's...
The drywall... I'm sorry, Lou.
No, go ahead.
The drywall on top, you know how the ceiling is slanted, and there's probably about 12 inches you know, where the window is. So there's some areas where the slant of the roof and the wall comes. It is soft. In
right.
other words, I've touched it.
That's got to come out.
It's got that, soft spots.
Yeah, that's got to get cut out. And it would be worth, at the very least, Eris, having a conversation with your homeowner's insurance agent.
Got it. Lou, thank you. I appreciate your, you know, always knowing what to try and do. Thank you very much. Appreciate appreciate the help.
You're very kind. Thank you so much for calling. Good luck with the project. But I'm weak. 877, but I'm strong in mind. 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. 920 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back after this.
Hey, being a homeowner ain't easy. I mean, at least not for me. Which is why people like me are grateful for people like Lou.
Hey, John, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
G-L-O-R-I-A. This is Gloria.
Hi, Lou. God, I've been thinking about you all week.
Really?
Who's taking your calls live right now?
Lou, I've got an older furnace with a crack in the heat exchanger.
I know you get this question a lot.
I've got a simple question you can use your opinions on.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier.
Welcome back.
Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
877-2134-LOU.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get
easier. Let's go back to the phone calls.
Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Linda is in Chicago. Hi, Linda.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
How may I help you?
Lou, I'm so glad that you're taking my call. A couple of weeks ago on House Smart, you did a demonstration of a door that wouldn't stay open, a bathroom door, and it was just like you were right in my house because I have an issue with my bathroom door, and I'm so very sick and tired of it. Now, I watched it, and it looked like, you know, maybe I could do it. But there were some things I just didn't quite understand.
Okay.
I needed to know, do you do both hinges, the one at the top and the one at the bottom?
All right, let me ask you this about your bathroom door. It's the issue that it won't stay open?
It won't. It stays open. It won't, you know, when you it just will not stay open.
So, in other words, you want, if you, in the bathroom now, if you just don't touch the door, it'll just close, and you want to be able to swing it open and have it stay open.
That is correct.
Okay. Do you own a level?
I do.
Okay. So, this is the thing that you want to figure out. When that door is open, okay, I want you to take the level along the plane of the door. Meaning that, I'm assuming the door opens up against a wall, correct?
It does.
Okay. So when it opens up against the wall, on the hinge side of the door, where it's hinged, on the plane of the door that would be the outside of the door when it's closed, put that level on there and see if the door is plumb, meaning that those little, the air bubble in between the vial is in the center. Chances are when you put that on that door, and you can put it up high, which would be the best, probably the best bait, you're going to see that the door, it's going to be like, oh, this door needs to kind of go a little bit closer to the hinges, like closer to the jamb a little bit on the door there. And you may be able to accomplish this just by removing a couple of screws from the top hinge, buying two longer screws, meaning like 2.5 inches long, replacing those screws and tightening them so it kind of sucks that door a little closer. And then Okay. Now the door is plumb straight up and down, and it should not swing close on you anymore.
Wow, what a relief that would be. Thank you so very much.
Well, let's hope that it works. Call me back and let me know what happens, okay?
I'll certainly do that. Thank you. Enjoy your day.
You got it. You too. And do you, Lindsay, well, Lindsay's on the phone right now, but that House Smarts episode where she's talking about that bathroom door that we fixed, remember that it wasn't closing the right way? Do you happen to remember where I shot that episode of House Smarts?
I do. I forgot about that.
Would you like to share with the class?
My parents' bathroom.
Right. It was your
They say thanks.
Bathroom. Right. You're welcome. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Larry in Beloit, Wisconsin. Hey, Larry. Good morning. Here he comes. Sitting down there having his coffee. Here, Larry. He's coming over to the phone. 3, 2.
Morning, Lou.
Hi, Larry.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I got two things. I heard you talk about a lady called in about a thermostat. Mine kind of went on the blink, and luckily I had the repair manual and stuff, and I didn't realize that it took little, I think it was AAA batteries for the thermostat. And then if I replace that with a different thermostat, do you have to turn the power off to the house?
No, not to the house, but to the just to the furnace. You have a do you have a cutoff switch on the furnace?
Yes.
Kill that switch, just so we kill the just so we kill any transformer coming to the low voltage wire. I mean, in theory, you can do it without it, but it's not a bad idea.
Okay.
Because if you cross something, you don't want to. It's better to just kill that switch. The furnace will be off, and just remember to turn that switch back on.
Then do all thermostats have batteries?
Do all programmable thermostats have batteries?
Okay, yeah, that's what ours is, programmable.
Yeah, if it's a non-programmable, then no.
Okay, and then one other thing, too. Now, I noticed that my driveway is getting some potholes in the cement and stuff.
Oh.
And a few weeks ago, I called, and you said that there was something that it was called old cement, where it looked like it was older instead of buying a bag of cement, and you put it on, and boom.
Well, this was a top coating for like how deep are these holes?
Probably like an inch by 3 inches.
Inch deep or 3 inches deep?
An inch deep and like 3 inches.
Oh, okay. Well, an inch deep, you could probably get away with it. So there's a top coater that I've talked about on the radio before. It's a local company called Tintcrete. And they make a top coating. It's almost it's almost like a powdery material, but very durable, very durable, very strong. And they have one that looks like a new concrete finish, so it's more on the gray tone. And then they have what they call old concrete that has more of a brown tone to it. And there are some dealers that carry it, but if you go to their website, I believe it's tintcrete.com. You may be able to either order it online or, find a dealer near you that carries the product in stock.
Time for Just Text Me.
How do you do this?
Maybe it's your fingernails. It's easy. Look.
It's that easy.
And send.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio. It's so
funny. I love talking with you people. But we get a lot of text messages. Happy to answer your text messages. Just remember, don't text and drive. 877-213-4-LOU is the phone number and the text line. And Lindsay's got some text messages. We can rapid fire through a few of them this morning. Hello again.
Hello, Lou. I have dark water stains around my faucet. The granite hasn't been sealed in a while. How can I get rid of them?
The dark water stains may be actual discoloration of the granite itself. And so that could be something that's difficult to pull out of there. What I would try is something called marble poultice. And it's a powder that you're going to buy. You're going to mix with water to make it like a paste. And then you're going to place this around that ring. And this will be a little difficult to do. Normally, when you put the poultice down on a granite or marble top, you cover with plastic to kind of seal it up so it dries and wicks up. You're not going to be able to do that here just because the faucet's in the way. So mix this together like a little paste, but it's got to be a paste that you can handle. So when you're mixing it with water, almost toothpaste thickness would be what you're looking for. Place it around there and then leave it there for 24 hours and see if that wicks the stain out of there. And then if it's any better, that looks pretty good. It may take 24 hours, 48 hours for that to dry and see if it's better. You could even expedite the drying time after you remove the paste after 24 hours. Take a hair dryer and try and dry it out and see if that's any better. You're going to know pretty quick if it's like, oh, that looks pretty good. Then we may want to try and seal that, and you're going to seal it with something that is not designed for this whatsoever. Howard's makes a wax, a furniture wax. And it is not designed for this whatsoever, but it has beeswax in it. And you're going to put a little bit on the stone, let it sit there, and then polish it. And it'll seal it a little bit. It'll bring the shine back. And it may keep the water from absorbing into that area in the future.
All right, Lou. What cleans the black double burner stove grays?
Huh? Grays?
What can clean the black iron double grays on stove? On the stove?
Grates?
Oh, grates. I wonder. She checks it two times and both of them say grays. And I'm going, huh?
Grates? Okay.
Graves. Grays. Grates.
If they're cast iron grates, then what I would do is, right? It's not easy. Right? Even with the texting, even with the callers, you know, you're like trying to be, you know, trying to, like, I'm like Karnak. I got to put the envelope up by my head. So what I would do is remove them, put a towel on the countertop so you don't damage the countertop, maybe even a cutting board because you don't want to damage the countertop. Get a brass stripping brush by hand, a hand one. It looks like a big toothbrush. And just dry, go with that to clean up the grates. That'll get down to the, it won't damage the cast iron, but it'll get any debris off of there. If you wanted to try, if there's like baked on stuff, full strength crud cutter, let it sit there for 30 minutes and then scrape it again with the brass stripping brush. Grays. My last one.
Sure. Our wood railings and banister are about 40 years old, and we want to paint them. Please advise how to do it and what kind of paint to use.
Lightly,
enjoy the sunshine.
Lightly sand down to remove any finish that might be left on there. And then you just want to probably use something that's super durable, like a semi-gloss, maybe even an enamel that is hard. I mean, the thing is, with a painted surface, you know, you can get chipping or wear or discoloration. I don't know what color you're going to paint it, but a lighter color obviously will show, you know, it'll tend to dinge up a little bit. There is, I've spoken about this, that it's been reformulated, but there was a cabinet and trim paint that you could get at Ace. Now it's under the Clark & Kensington brand, and it's a alkalid, very durable, self-leveling paint. And if you were to get that in a quart, which is probably all you would need for rails, and I would probably use on a railing, once you sand it all down and get nice and smooth, if you want to get a super smooth finish, use a, even though it's self-leveling, use a tightly woven small little 3-inch roller to roll the length of that to get a nice smooth finish. When it first goes on, it may look streaky, but then as it dries, it kind of almost gives you a spray-painted finish. You'll probably have to do a second coat, possibly even a third, but it has it's soap and water cleanup, which is nice, and you'll get really nice results with it. Try that out. That's our Just Text Me segment. Thanks so much for the text messages. We always like hearing from you. Just remember, don't text and drive. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Roberta in Berkeley. Hi, Roberta.
Hi, Lou. This is a very unusual question. I've never heard it on your show before. I'm in my 80s, and I have a house. It's a one-story house that's got an addition on the back. It's probably 18 by 17 with a crawl space. At that time, when the builder put stones underneath there. And I'm wondering if I could have a mold problem there. What do they put on a crawl space floor now? You can crawl in there, but there's stones. And 10 years ago, I had a contractor connect the furnace to the back room, so I now get heat up there. And at that time, he said everything was dry. But what do they do? I was wondering if I should have PermaSeal come out and check this, or what do they put in crawl spaces now for the floor?
A very common practice now is to do something called an encapsulation. And this, in fact, is something that PermaSeal does. And so they could come in, and it would be free for them to do this kind of estimate for you and take a look at the crawl space, see what kind of conditions it's in. And, you know, one of the things that they talk a lot about is the air quality that's inside your home. So,
Because you know, I have a mold problem here, I'm sure.
Well,
a musty smell.
So that smell can permeate up through that crawl space into your living space. When they
Now, this does have vents around there because I've seen the vents, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking when all that snow melted, it seems like it was worse.
Sure. Well,
but they come free, though, right, to check this?
They do, and they could certainly talk to you about encapsulating it. And basically what they do, Roberta, is mm-hmm. they put – it's almost like a pool liner that goes in this whole space, and they go on the floor, they go up the sides, they can even insulate around the ribbon joist, around the perimeter of it, to make sure that any odor or moisture or anything that's down there does not flow up into your living space. The other benefit for you is someday when you go to sell, it's going to be the type of thing that the whoever looks in there is going, wow, that looks really nice and clean, and it will be something that is an added value proposition, in my opinion, when you go
now,
to sell
you know
the
house. How, is that very expensive to do this encapsulate?
It's more than a dollar. It all depends on the size, but you know, it can be a couple, $3,000-$4,000 depending on how big the space is. But again, the estimate is free. And, if you call them, 800-421-SEAL is the phone number. Estimates are free and they can come out and assess it and see if it's if that crawl space is a candidate for crawl space encapsulation. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 9:45 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You've got your radio tuned in to Lou Manfredini.
Best thing to do is just buy a new furnace. I mean, we need a bigger one anyway, don't we?
A bigger one won't fit in that corner.
Well, then put it in the southeast corner.
That's where the stairs are.
Well, then put it in the southwest corner.
Then you'll put it on top of Mrs. Newton.
Who?
Mrs. Newton, the lady who's buried in the basement.
There's a lady buried in our basement?
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, well, sit down. This may come as quite a shock.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
The great Bob Newhart and actor Tom Poston. 877-2134-LOU. This is Lisa in Chicago. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How may I help you this morning?
I am calling because we have cedar siding that's painted
okay.
on our garage and the house and our shed. And when watering our plants last year, we're on a well, and there's rust stains all over the side of the house where the water hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to remove that without destroying the paint?
Yeah, let's try wet and forget. And the reason
okay.
I say that is it's not specifically for rust, but rust is an organic material from the water in there, and it should not damage the paint. It won't damage the paint. But we need it to warm up a little bit, so we're probably a couple
yes.
weeks away there.
Mm-hmm.
And is this just like, it's not the whole side of the house, it's just a section of the house?
Well, on the shed, it's almost one whole wall of the thing. But in the small, it's on a small section of the front and the back of
okay.
the house, yes.
Okay. What I would do then, you can buy it to go on the end of a garden hose, but since you may not be getting the garden hose out just yet, you can buy either a premix bottle of it, or you can buy a concentrate, you put that in a pump sprayer, okay,
mm-hmm.
and just
mm-hmm.
spray the surface on there. Don't scrub it. Don't do anything. Just spray it on, and you're going to know in 30 days if this is effective or not.
Okay. So we just put it on there and then leave it, and then if it's going to work, it's going to work within 30 days.
Yeah. Now, if 30 days from now you see, I mean, like literally in 2 weeks, you could spray this on, okay?
Okay.
And mm-hmm. and so you're going to spray this on and then take a look. Oh, hey, look, it's starting to fade away. I can see that. Then if it's not going to work, then we may have to go with just like a cleaner and a scrub brush, like a nylon scrub brush, and I would probably just use something as simple as a dish soap so that we don't damage the paint. And like a concentrate, like a Dawn dishwashing soap and warm water and a scrub brush, then let it sit there and scrub it again. And, you know, the longer it sits on the paint, the longer it is to get rid of it. But I bet you the wet and forget will work.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that very much. And I will try that first and see what happens. I appreciate your time.
You got it. Be well. Appreciate you calling as well. 877-213-4LOU to Grace, who is in Wheaton. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. How may I help you?
Okay. We are redoing our kitchen, and I would love to open up the wall between the kitchen and the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
On that wall is, you've got lower cabinets, a slide-in range, and then a hood above it and the, you know, upper cabinets. And, of course, the people we've had come in, we've had a couple quotes, and they say, oh, well, just to move a wall, it's going to be another $40,000.
Oh, come on.
I'm like, wow, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, anyway, I said, okay, so why can't we just leave the slide-in range, take out the uppers, and just open it to that room? You know, you're not moving any electrical then, any gas or anything like that. They said, oh, you don't want a, you'd have to do a downdraft.
Okay. Hold on. We need some other choices here. It's not $40,000 to move a wall. That is ridiculous. I don't care if it's load bearing or whatever. It's just not that expensive. So we need to get some other.
The difference they said between the two would probably all in be, you know, between doing two things, leaving the exact footprint or opening that wall and then pushing everything to the exterior wall.
Well, sure, it's always easier to do what's there and just replace the cabinets. You're in, you're out, you're done. But, I mean, here's the thing. If we're going to stay there and this is what you want, this is what I've learned in my life. You get what you do what you want so that you're not. If you go the other route knowing that this is what you wanted to do, all you're ever going to do in your brand new kitchen, you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, Grace, we love your kitchen. And you're going to be like, oh, thank you so much. I really wish I could have moved that wall. That'll be the next thing out of your mouth. And why would you do that, right? So we need to get a couple of different choices, okay? I happen to know that there's a bunch of Nary contractors out in the Wheaton area that if you went to Nary.org, Nary.org, and you pumped in certified kitchen remodelers, you'd get some people. You need somebody in the general contracting world as opposed to just a kitchen person that just wants to churn and burn and get in and get out. Now,
okay, so I mean, some of these larger companies then that do, we do kitchens, we do baths, we do additions.
Correct, so, right. We need all those people to come out and take a look at it, and that would be the better way to go for you. That way it's more about the building, and they can do the kitchens, and they can work with other kitchen designers to get what you need so that you're happy. Thanks so much for your phone call. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thanks to Joe, to Don, to Bob, and mostly Lindsay for producing. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio.